Hello and welcome to the special edition of the Big Fight. All year long, actually, so far this year in 2019, we've been doing this special series looking at the 2019 election, the road to 2019, and every week taking a look at all the twists and turns that are building up to the digital election. And once again, this was a week that had plenty of drama and plenty of action, and some would say may well be setting the stage for a lot of what is going to happen. So, as we do every single week, before I start introducing the guests, let's just take you through the big items that happened. The political developments, good news, bad news, and the index of alliance unity. So, top political developments were obviously that interim budget, which I have to tell you, we're going to spend the bulk of the next 1 hour really discussing. It was potentially a budget that could have a big impact on the elections, although I'm sure there are those who will disagree with that particular thesis, but we'll take a look at it. Number two, political development, PM trying to take on Mamata and her own turf. Is that going to become an interesting state? We should look at West Bengal, by the way. Lots and lots of seats out there, and the NDA may well surprise people by pulling up a certain number of seats. Bipoll results, Congress, BJP split the honours out there. Good news for the government, well, there was a lot actually there in the budget, which the government can talk about, from income for marginal farmers, tax bonanza for the middle class, and then, of course, the BJP is going to be looking at that Jind win. So that was the good news for the government. Bad news for the government this week, jobs, and that report on unemployment that was apparently buried in some form or the other. That's something which may well come back to haunt the BJP. Farmers protesting on the border and the BJP trying to find some sort of a middle path in a citizenship bill. They could have got themselves tied up in a certain number of knots out there. Index of alliance unity, well, the Akali Dals skipped an NDA meeting. Is that a serious development? Is that a marginal question? Well, let's wait and see. Meanwhile, all is not well still between the Congress and the JDS in Karnataka, and HK Devagada both voicing anguish over the treatment they're getting. The Northeast, a large number of parties have come and said that they are opposing the citizenship bill. So a lot for everyone to think about. And now let's get straight into the budget and its implications. And we have a special panel to help us doing this. And I am going to be going across fairly frequently to the number of interviews that I did do yesterday, from the finance minister to top, the finance secretary to the chief economic advisor, Amitabh Kant. Many people came out and spoke and had things to say about why they thought this budget was a game changer. And we'll see what they actually make of all of that. But joining us right here in the studio, Salman Soh, spokesperson of the Congress Party. Great to have you with us. Deshratan Nigam is with us as well. Surinder Bhadauria joining us, leader of the Bahujan Samaj Party. So three people are going to be helping us to really figure out which way this budget is going to help things to go. And Sagarika Ghosh, always a pleasure to have you with us, Sagarika, to help us analyze all of this. And I'm also going to try and throw some data from West Bengal at some point and see where we are going to go with that. But first, the budget. Now, the newspapers and many of the channels have said that this is something which may have an impact on the polls. And we'll start off by getting everyone's assessment of that. Is it going to have an impact? Salman.
Well, not in the way the Prime Minister and his party think it is, right? I mean, everybody thought that they're going to come up with some major announcements and then they're going to basically buy some votes, and they've tried to buy some votes. But you see, the reason it is not going to work is it's very simple. The bulk of the announcement is for farmers, 75,000 crore rupees. But if you look at what has happened to farmers under the Modi government, they've been basically driven to great distress. And at the time when the government should have been helping them, after two successive droughts in 2014 and 15, what did the government do? Demonetization. 2017, what did the government do? GST. These kinds of shocks have actually hurt the rural economy and farmers. Now you turn around and say, you know what? Now it's election time. 5 years I did all this, and we did not support you. You were driven to distress. Now let me give you 17 rupees a day, and you know what? I want you to vote for me. I don't think it's going to work. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. And by the way, same thing with the middle class tax cut, as they call it, the rebate that they've come up with. You've taken 11 lakh crores just in fuel taxes in the last 5 years. And now you tell them, let me give you a little bit of money, vote for me. What about, you know what the middle class wants? They want jobs for their children. You know what a farmer wants? A job for their child. Where are the jobs? They keep talking about Josh. There is no Josh. Okay, they've lost Josh. The country has lost Josh. And we are basically without jobs.
Okay, talking about jobs and Josh, where sometimes you say, okay, you want to look at Josh? Take a look at this. This is what happened in Parliament as Piyush Goyal was actually making that announcement. As I listen, I'm going to keep going to some of these clippings to give you a sense. It certainly whipped up the MPs there inside Parliament. Now, you're right, you're saying it's not going to have an impact outside. Well, we'll wait to see about that. But this is what happened with the MPs when that announcement was made. Let's take a look.
I propose the following changes. Individual taxpayers having taxable annual income up to rupees 5 lakhs will get full tax rebate.
Okay, Modi chants in the middle of a budget. So, Sudhinder Bhattacharya, let me throw what Salman was just saying. He was saying after all that's happened, this is not going to really whip up the Josh. Is it going to whip up the Josh? Some of these steps, that 500 rupees, may make a difference at the bottom of the pyramid, and for the middle class, a step like this. Will the Josh come back into the BJP's campaign? That's the first question to ask. One of the big ideas in this is the direct transfer to farmers that you've got. Now, it has been criticized. You've had the opposition saying it's only 6,000 rupees, which is, it should have been much more than that, which I guess ties up with the resource question. But is this a conceptual shift that we are thinking? You've done this in this budget. We heard Rahul Gandhi talking about it a few days ago, talking about minimum income. Are we moving now to a scenario where instead of the subsidy, which is the way we have normally taken care of the poorest of the poor, now it will be by direct cash transfers?
Well, I think this is not at all intended to be a subsidy. We are actually only giving a respect to our farmers who have provided us food security, who have been really the annadatas of this nation. Food production has gone up, food productivity has improved. Today we have surplus of almost all our commodities, and therefore prices have been generally quite low. We are now planning a massive thrust to food processing, to storage chains, for logistics, for export of processed products. And I think we are looking at sustainable solutions for the farmers' welfare in the long run. This initial support of 6,000 rupees every year is basically just a mark of respect that this nation is paying to its farm.
And you think that a loan waiver would be the wrong way to go because...
Well, loan waivers have never made them. No, I'm not looking at that. Should it become very necessary in a particular instance? It should also be done. It has been done in the past. But look at what happened in the UPA regime. They gave a loan waiver of 70,000 crores in 2008. They didn't provide a single rupee for that in the budget. In the 2009 budget, nothing was provided. And what did they do? Out of 70, they only gave a waiver to 52,000 crore rupees of loans. It went to about 3.5 crore farmers, which means at an average, the farmers got only some 14,000 rupees or so in that year. Other than that, in 10 years, what did they do for the farmers? Whereas we have a track record of so many things. And now, let's take our next 10 years, we would have given 7.5 lakh crore rupees to the farmers. Isn't that far more sustaining? Isn't that far more beneficial to the farmers? Isn't that something which will help them to create the availability of adequate seed, maybe fertilizer, maybe pay their electricity bills at the right time before each of the harvests? So we are looking at long-term solutions.
Okay, fine. So the income tax one, and that's really Piyush Goyal explaining to me yesterday what he thought the logic of what he's doing for farmers is. Surinder Bhattacharya, the question I was asking, whether it's the tax cut, whether it's what we just heard the finance minister talking about what he wants to do for the farmers, is it going to make an impact? Let's just discuss the budget proposal first, and we'll come to the broader picture of what's happened in the last 5 years, and is it enough, and of course, jobs. We'll come to that as well in a couple of minutes. Mr. Bhattacharya.
Well, I would say if I want to sum up this budget, this is certainly fudging with numbers. One, Secondly, this is a populist budget which is not going to be focused on development. It will not focus on health and education, which are supposed and are very essential for the future of this country. Health sector, last year they spent 3.4% and 1.2% both together, less than 5% of the budget on health and education. It was around 4.67% on health and education together. For a country like India, unless we double up this money, I think we will not achieve, because this nation stands on the shoulders of those people who are the working class, who are the farmers, who are the poor. And their health and education, you know how poor it is. 1,000 people died in Gorakhpur, children died in Gorakhpur alone, in the constituency of Yogi Adityanath, from where the Prime Minister comes in Banaras. Go to the All India Institute of Medical Sciences. People are sleeping on pavements. I just drove by before coming over here. People in this winter, this cold winter, they're sleeping on pavements. And they are talking about improving the health of the country. I think this is all humbug. People of this country know that 5 years we have seen jumlas, and this year, around on the election day, this is again a jumla, nothing for the marginal peasants. They just talk, what is 6,000 rupees in a year for a marginal peasant? The Prime Minister, who calls him a chai wala, he must be understanding the chai economy. They can't even provide chai to the family whole year round. What to talk of a square meal a day? So therefore, in the ultimate analysis, this budget is not going to yield much results. And the people of this country know, like in the 5 years in the past, all was jumla. This is also going to be a jumla round. And okay, people are understanding the basic spirit of this government is to try and cheat the people, and people understand the deceit and cheat in this government.
All right, Mr. Bhadauria, well, you know, it's certainly the budget got you all fired up, so you clearly are not very particularly enthused about that, what the finance minister said. Deshwatha Nigam, now, I'm going to come to various aspects of this. 6,000 rupees may not be a very large sum of money if you're looking at it at a global level. For the poorest of the poor, is it going to make enough of a significant impact to say, well, this is something that is going to be counting? It's obviously a directional shift. And by the way, the directional shift is something we should debate and we should probably all welcome. Frankly, the Congress Party is also talking about minimum income. So the direction that this is showing, don't have so many subsidies, don't have other things which don't work, move in a directional manner towards direct cash transfers, is probably something that everyone would welcome at some point or the other. But we'll see whether everyone welcomes it. But this, in this budget, is it enough to make a difference for the elections? Because for the moment, that's all I'm debating on this show. Is it going to make a difference in the elections?
See, this directional shift is very important. In fact, I was on your show even yesterday, where Shashi Tharoor also in principle agreed, but he was debating about the quantum. And let me tell you, this is not for consumption for throughout the year. As Piyush Goyal rightly pointed out, this will be given in three tranches: pre-harvest, when the crop standing, and the post-harvest, to provide them certain inputs, agri inputs. This is basically to, you know, have those inputs so that the agriculture output also increases and the income of the farmers also increase. This certainly will have an impact. And especially, you know, when Piyush Goyal gets up and says, thank you taxpayers, and acknowledges the contribution of taxpayers, it did satisfy me. I got vindicated that my money is going for the poor, is going for the infrastructure. So he acknowledged the taxpayers. That is what matters, which the tax base is not huge compared to the population of this country, but those who are paying stand vindicated.
Those who are paying often also get harassed, which is something I did ask him yesterday at great length about.
Dishonest ones, yes.
Is that process going to be simplified? Sagarika, when yesterday I asked Piyush Goyal specifically this question, saying that 6,000 crore rupees is really not going to be making too much of an impact on the lives of many people, he essentially said, he seemed to say, that's not entirely what it is meant to. I think the words he used was, it is a mark of respect to the farmers who work in really difficult situations. They have a really, really tough time. It's a mark of respect to them, and in a sense, a way of saying thank you at critical moments. That's what this particular provision is for.
You know, Vikram, when you said...
Is that going to pay electoral dividends?
You know, when you said that what will the impact of this budget be on the BJP campaign, I think that is key. It's not whether it'll have an impact on the economy, because let's face it, first you have to find who all these farmers who are below 2 lakh hectares are. It's a gargantuan task. You're going to have to identify these farmers. You're going to have to do the direct benefit transfer of 6,000 rupees per year. How is this massive task going to be completed within a space of a few months? So, you know, the logistical challenge is huge. But just to come to your point about what it'll do to the campaign, I think this is an attempt to shift the narrative. It's an attempt to hit the ball for a sixer. I think this government has now decided anything that comes our way, we will try to hit out of the park. I think it tries to actually compensate for the defeats of the December assembly elections, the winter defeats in Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh and Rajasthan. I think it's trying to therefore swing back to those people who they feel have deserted them, the upper caste, the farmers and the middle class. Remember, the middle class is key to Mr. Modi, the neo-middle class. They are the juggernaut that powered Mr. Modi. You know, the lower middle class, the auto rickshaws and all of that. So therefore, the income tax rebate. Then the upper caste have already been wooed by that quota, the 10% quota. And now the farmers were supposed to be annoyed, the marginal farmers were supposed to be annoyed. So this is, as an expert has said, this is a Pradhan Mantri re-election Awas budget. It is a political budget.
Sorry, say that again.
It's a Pradhan Mantri re-election Awas Yojana budget. It's a re-election Awas Yojana budget.
Okay.
So therefore, I believe that every section who is perceived to be disenchanted with the government is being given some sop, is being given a cup of chai, and is being, you know, is being wooed over. So I think that what the BJP is trying to do here, what Mr. Narendra Modi is trying to do here, is shift the narrative, hit the ball for a sixer,
and has he succeeded? Let me put it this way: from yesterday morning to this morning, has there been a slight shifting of the needle towards the BJP?
I think what you said was key in terms of the impact on the BJP campaign, because I think it gives the BJP a talking point.
It gives them something
point.
To talk about,
you know,
and gives them
whipped
up.
Now they're saying, "Ab ki baar, 400 par." So it's that, you know, that mahal, that sort of euphoria, it's
the
giving
Josh,
BJP a talking
the Josh
point.
And the thumping. Yeah, we'll show that video to you again. That thumping of tables is there.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, just if I can.
Just look at the reach these schemes that have been announced as touching somewhere about 25 crores people. That is the amount of reach this interim budget has taken. Please remember that in mind.
Okay.
No, but how are you going to be able to reach all these?
That is what you're presuming. Probably the BJP government had everything lined out,
actually,
and therefore this was the end product. They have already laid out the platform. Jandhan, your platform has already been laid down.
You know, every time a BJP supporter trots out numbers, I feel compelled to just give them a dose of reality. First of all, this is a Pradhan Mantri Bachao Yojana. I think that's what they were saying. Take this idea of this 20 crore, reach 20 crore families. Take the example of Ayushman Bharat. Why do we go anywhere else? Let's just take Ayushman Bharat. We're going to cover 50 crore families, right? In the first three months of the scheme, according to the answer given by JP Nadda in Parliament, 0.08% of covered families their claims were submitted. Now people said, should everybody be, all 50 crores be in hospitals? No, but a reasonable number. In the United States, hospitalization rate is from 5 to 16.5%. That means somebody falls sick and you go to the hospital.
Okay.
This is 0.08% of the 50 crore who are covered. They're not covering anybody.
Okay.
And the ones who are benefiting are private hospitals.
All right.
So, and by the way, one other thing on cynical politics. Out of the 6,000 rupees that they've promised, 2,000 rupees are supposed to be delivered before the elections.
They're backdated.
Because they're backdated.
Don't you think that 17 rupees per day, which is, or you know, which is what the Congress, of course, has been trumpeting, but it is sort of peanuts. It is pathetically low. So
but
to think that
to
this
be,
was going to go
but,
down.
But to be fair, you could question it on both sides in an interim budget.
Yeah, yeah.
You can question it both times. The fact that Yes, it's 6,000 crore rupees. Is it going to make any a difference to anybody's life? That's a valid point, right? Yeah. 6,000 crore rupees in an entire year, is it going to make a difference? I don't know.
6,000 rupees
but,
per year.
But 6,000 rupees per year. Yeah. But if it had been 50,000 rupees or whatever,
then, it would have been,
then you would have said,
fiscally,
how can you do something like this in an interim budget, right?
No, but so,
in a sense, it's pragmatic.
I'm still in my own mind not very clear whether in an interim budget
it's pragmatic,
done any
but
of
I just
this.
Think it's symbolism and, you know, it's messaging.
It's a very good step.
Okay, so now the principle, I think, Desh, hang on, I think you're right. I think one of the questions that I'm going to throw open, because this election which we're going to see is also going to have manifestos coming up, we're potentially going to see the path and the promise for the next 5 years of India being outlined here right now. So I'm going to ask all of you one question. It's not that the Congress party or other political parties do not come out and make promises, especially to the farmers. And at a time like this, given their amount of agrarian distress, it is correct to say that we will try and do something to ameliorate the distress of the farmers. Now, the route that the Congress has often taken in the past is loan waivers, for example, right? You promised, and you just implemented loan waivers in Madhya Pradesh and in the other states.
So has the BJP in
Uttar Pradesh. So has the BJP in the past. I'm saying loan waivers have often been the way to go. Hmm. Now, very specifically, I asked, so the Prime Minister, for example, in Bengal has just said that we don't do the drama of loan waivers. Now, I asked the question yesterday to many of the officials whom I spoke to, CEA, Finance Secretary, you know, Ministry of the Department of Economic Affairs, are loan waivers the better way to go or actions like this, direct cash transfers to farmers? Let's just listen in on their answers, and then I'm going to get everyone's take on this. When it comes to farmers, just we had some farmers saying, well, you know, maybe loan waivers is a better route to go than this. I'm sure you've debated that at great length. Whether loan waivers are better or this is better?
See, the farmers are supported by the government through multiple interventions. The farm waiver has some, to my mind, weaknesses. Number one, it does not target all farmers. It's only targeting those who are who have taken loans. Secondly,
and that targets, also loans from commercial banks as opposed to money lenders.
And second, yeah, so those are excluded. Secondly, those who pay don't get benefit.
Yeah.
Those who default only get benefit. So it can't cover the universe of the farmers. And therefore, direct income support probably is a better design. And also thinking that you're restricting it to farmers owning the land up to only 2 hectares. So you're identifying the poorer farmers.
And what you find is that among the non-distressed farmers, which was a large bulk of farmers that actually got that waiver, you actually have loan performance deteriorating because of moral hazard. And that's a significant concern. The proportion of, you know, borrowers that are actually distressed, identifying that is not easy. And so you have moral hazard. What also happens is that, you know, despite all assurances, the credit that goes to farmers after a debt waiver, that decreases because the, you know, loan officers worry about this aspect as well. And keeping all this in mind, I think the income transfer is a better idea than a farm waiver.
Well, that's the justification from the officials. And here's what the Prime Minister specifically said on the subject of loan waivers in Bengal today.
Bhaiyo aur behno, itne paise se hum bhi karz maafi ka shor macha sakte the. जैसे 2008-09 के चुनाव से पहले कांग्रेस ने ड्रामेबाजी की थी, कर्ज माफी की घोषणाएं की थी, हम भी कर सकते थे. लेकिन हमारी नीयत साफ है, नीति स्पष्ट है, और जिसके कारण हम किसान के हित में परमानेंट योजना लेकर के आए हैं. इस योजना से जिनको लाभ मिलने वाला है वो किसान, जिनमें से अधिकांश को कभी भी कर्ज माफी का लाभ नहीं मिला है. एक और बात ध्यान देने वाली है कि योजना वन टाइम नहीं है. अब ये योजना देश के छोटे छोटे किसानों के साथ हमेशा के लिए रहेगी.
Well, okay, essentially, the Prime Minister saying that I believe in a more long-term solution and not in loan waivers. Surinder Bhadauria, let me just go to you and then I'm going to get everyone else's take. As we are going to see party manifestos being drawn up in the next month or so, are we going to see that for farmers' distress to be alleviated, the solution is either cash transfers, like the new scheme which was announced in the budget yesterday, or other methods to improve agrarian crisis, and that farm loaners, farm loan waivers by themselves, not necessarily the way forward for some of the reasons that we just heard articulated by some of the government's, you know, economic think tank and the you know, in the Ministry of the Department of Economic Affairs?
Well, I would like to also make a brief comment on what Sagarika Ghosh said, that this is an election year, and also the Prime Minister, because having seen the defeats in different states, is trying to hit sixes and trying to hit four centuries now. Let me say this, that this is going to be a hit wicket cricket match for the Prime Minister, because the reason is the rural distress is there. It is about the farmers. It is about the entire rural economy. I have, after the budget, spoken to few villages over the phone, and they have told me that they are not enthused. And I want the NDTV to go and do a survey. The overall economy, and that is why the farmers are always marching towards Delhi or big cities like Bombay in Maharashtra and other places. The farmers are not impressed, and let me also say this, that the overall unemployment, which also includes the villages, the urban centers, and the overall young people, already they had promised
Mr.
10
Bhadauria,
crore jobs, but only in 1 year.
Sir, I'm
but only in 1 year.
I'm
last
sorry
year,
to interrupt.
2018, over 1.5 crore became unemployed. So where
sir,
is the future of this country? This budget has nothing for the future of this country.
I'm coming to jobs.
The rural poor.
I'm coming to jobs. I'm coming to jobs. Just 2 minutes, I'm coming to jobs. But if I can just get a, I'm just trying to get a specific sense from everybody on a very specific question. We know that there's distress in farmers. You're right, there's agrarian distress. It's been acknowledged. Now, the way to fix it, there are two or three solutions that we are talking about. Systemic issues which need to be done, which may say take some time. Cash transfers in the intermediate, like the new Kisan Yojana that was announced yesterday, or loan waivers. What is your take, Mr. Bhadauria? Do you think loan waivers are the right way to go, or direct cash transfers? I'm asking because I think potentially we are seeing a change in the way we are approaching this issue, and it might well be a good approach.
Well, it has to be a holistic approach. It can't be one issue. It has to be a holistic approach. For instance, the sugar cane farmers, it is a different area. The paddy growers have a different issue. So, and overall, if we see the farmers, we have to also focus on the rural infrastructure, rural development, the villages. Look at the villages, how they are migrating, how people are coming, because of no progress, no development taking place. And as far as the other aspects which are related with the rural economy, whether it is the fertilizer, whether it is the prices, overall focus has to be made on the economic development of rural India. The BJP lacks this, and I can tell you these kind of temperings will not help, and this is not going to take
okay.
them anywhere. And that is why this government has lost credibility about the rural poor of this country.
All right. Salman, let me throw the slightly theoretical question to you, because it's an important theoretical question. I know you might struggle to answer this till you know what's specifically in your manifesto. For all you know, manifesto may say something. But hearing what the Congress Party also is saying, not least what Rahul Gandhi said publicly, that minimum income, you can't have minimum income plus have subsidies, plus have loan waivers, because otherwise then the exchequer is not going to be able to handle it. Are we potentially seeing a change in thinking in this, even from the Congress Party, from loan waivers to another way of doing things?
Well, actually, you know, I agree with Mr. Bhadauria, actually, because think about it. Loan waivers come in because there's distress. Distress was caused by two types of policies that the government followed. One was this contraction through demonetization and GST. Another one was, for 4 years, very limited increases in MSPs. In the final year, they did something, but not enough, because that was not the Swaminathan Commission recommendation. So you've actually created very little space. We created distress. So you need an immediate.
Yeah, but what's the solution?
I'll tell you what the solution is. One, of course, you need to provide some loan waivers that we have done. I think you have to. There is no getting around it. On top of that,
but you heard what the government official said. There are problems with loan waivers. I'll tell you what the problems are. Let me recap what they said just for you. The problem with loan waivers are, A, it is only given to farmers. It is only given to farmers who've taken loans from banks, not from moneylenders, A. B, there's a moral hazard question, which is obvious. The subsequent credit to the agriculture sector starts to dry up. And C, if there is a really poor farmer who has somehow managed to repay the loan, it is unfair to that person then to have the loans being waived for somebody else. That's the problem with loan waivers, which minimum income doesn't have.
I understand. And by the way, it's not as if this is the first time loan waivers are being discussed. The fact that the Prime Minister's party has also provided loan waivers, something's working. But we need to go beyond
something
that.
Something may be working electorally. Whether it's working.
But it may be helping save some lives. But wait, you know, just that's one part of it. The second part is where we're talking about minimum income guarantee for the poorest people in the country, not just farmers. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the marginal farmers, the landless farmers, they would all be covered under that. The third part is what we don't talk about enough. Mr. Bhaduria talked about it. We need to really improve our health and education in our villages. You are actually making villagers go to private schools. If you fix that part, they don't have to spend money out of pocket for health or education. And then, by the way, final part. So it has to be comprehensive. The final part would be, we need to talk about it more. We need to unleash market forces, economic activity from small and medium enterprises should be encouraged to grow. We need a lot more economic activity. Then you're going to create jobs. Okay. Otherwise, you're not going to create jobs.
I just think the distress and dislocation in the agrarian sector is staring at us in the face. We've had massive farmers' protests, the march into Mumbai, the march into Delhi, the firing on farmers in Mandsaur. So I think there is no doubt that we're staring at serious rural distress at the moment. And in fact, almost a rural insurrection. So there's no question about that. Now, on top of that, there has been the blow and the trauma of demonetization, and I've seen this firsthand. It just, farmers' lives went up in flames. They literally had no access to money. In this situation, and I know Dr. Roy has also discussed this, that, you know, sort of economically unsound measures, like perhaps the loan waiver, is not perhaps desirable in the long run, because as you rightly say, it inflates the fiscal, the exchequer can't afford it, but it becomes a welfare measure when farmers are suffering so hard. And on the other hand, also the direct transfer, I think, is extremely important, because remember, for K. Chandrasekhar Rao in Telangana, this is what won him the election, the Raitu Bandhu. But, you know, having said all this, I think the long-term solution to the farm sector lies in what Mr. Soz was saying, not in politics, but in economics. But, you know, it's often said that good economics is bad politics and good politics is bad economics. So, but you do need the farmer to be rid of the arsenal of legislation that traps him, for him to be connected through the market to coal chain, for market forces to be unleashed in agriculture. Agriculture is an industry. It's the biggest private sector in India.
So do you think, Deshratan, I mean, looking ahead, I'm coming back again to what's going to happen. When the BJP manifesto, for example, is likely to be drawn up, if you were to ever try and advise them on that, what would you think? Do you think the BJP would also talk about loan waivers that is extending some of the stuff that we've heard out here on, you know, minimum income, and we're going to try and do this forward and try? Because whatever this government has tried to do in the agricultural sector for the last 5 years clearly doesn't seem to have worked, because there is a certain amount of crisis right now. So that's the immediate aftermath from which this particular policy is being announced. The farm income is being announced at the backdrop of 4 or 5 years of distress.
That's right.
Well, longer actually.
First,
for farmers.
To everybody's answer, this is an interim budget only. So when you talk about health,
it didn't
and
sound
education,
like an interim budget. No, it sounded like a finance bill. No, I mean, you're even bringing amendments to income tax.
I don't interrupt.
Okay.
The fact remains, this is an interim budget. Many more things would have come if it had been a full budget. So things about, you know, education, health would probably be taken care of whoever comes in power. Now, what you said about, these direct transfers, there is sound data to support that. 90% of these farmers take loan from private lenders. Only 3 to 4% is taken by the banks. So therefore, these farm loan waivers only affect a very small section of people. So these direct benefit transfers, you know, especially for in three tranches covering the agricultural cycle is very important, where these people go to private lenders for the seed money or for post-harvesting, things like that. It is where it is impacting. So this is in principle a good step, and I don't think any political party is going to back out from now, whether it is Congress or anybody else.
I think you may well be right. This may be, okay, we'll see how this goes. I don't want to come to another word, which is the J word, obviously. It's been all that we've been talking about for this entire week, especially after the entire drama over the suppression of job data and where is that going and was that data verified or not. Actually, one of the questions I put to Finance Minister Piyush Goyal, asking him about jobs and also asking him why jobs was a word that was somehow missing from the budget. Was that something which perhaps the finance minister would have wanted to announce something about specifically for jobs? I asked that to Piyush Goyal. This is what he said. The constant debate that is around jobs and unemployment, we've again heard for the last few days, have been having this entire discussion on what the data is. Is it a crisis? Is it one of the worst periods in 45 years when it comes to jobs? What is your thought process on that? And was that something which was in your mind when you were doing the budget?
This country works on different people working in different areas across the length and breadth of the country. Small businessmen, people, self-employed people, carpenters, masons, people engaged in the construction industry. There's so many multifarious dimensions of work in this country. We have a vision which is very futuristic. And our youngsters are really doing us proud. The kind of startups, the new unicorns that we are proud of in India.
So that's where you think the unemployment problem will eventually be solved?
I think they are doing is to try and assess what the real situation is, assess the impact of formalization, validate that data with quarterly numbers, and I'm sure they'll come out with their data. But I respect data. I respect the good work that the CSO is doing. I'm sure they'll come up with more realistic data rather than data which was showing numbers which will look very good. But I don't think anybody in this room would ever believe that.
So you're saying there's a problem perhaps with the numbers?
I think we will wait for the more validated data to come out. Now we have provided 75,000 crores next year. Current year also we have provided 20,000 crore for the PM Kisan Yojana. I think this is one government that has shown fiscal prudence like never before in this country.
And the fiscal deficit is still at 3.4%, right? So you've provided 75,000 crores there. You provided 18,500 crore rupees for the income tax exemption. No new taxes visibly that we can see.
Not visibly at all.
At all. So sometimes you worry about fine print, but a lot of time has gone by now.
No, I can assure you absolutely nothing.
So despite all of that, it's still 3.4% the fiscal deficit. So the reason for that, I assume, is that the GDP is growing, and as a result, the base is higher, and also, you know, you're expecting a certain amount of buoyancy.
And this nation is moving towards an honest economy. More and more people are finding the virtue of paying their taxes. And I think today I acknowledged with folded hands and very grateful acknowledgement to all the taxpayers in this country.
All right, so a couple of really interesting points coming out there. And Salman, Piyush Goyal saying, we still need to take a look at the data. And he seemed to be saying that the economy is growing really fast. We've heard this repeatedly. I asked this to Amitabh Kant also, because a chance we play that also. He again said, you know, if an economy which is growing this fast, unlikely that jobs are completely drying up to the level that there is in the data. So clearly the government is questioning the data to some extent. And they seem to be saying that the numbers in the budget, question of where the money is going to come from and all of this, will eventually be sorted out just through a process of growth. Is that a fair way to look at things?
You know, it is my sense that the government has so badly damaged India's reputation in the international arena that now we are basically going to be data manipulators, like China. China, you know, when I was at the World Bank, we used to think constantly that China's numbers cannot be trusted. I can tell you now, with a fair degree of responsibility, that India's data is being questioned around the world. Constantly, you're always kind of attacking some data that you've never seen any data that you like. Now, on the day before the budget, you revise your GDP data again, and what do you come out with? That the highest growth under Mr. Modi happened, it was 8.2% in the year of demonetization. If you believe that, then I have a lot of stuff to sell you. We can meet after the show and I can sell you a lot of other stuff. This government has damaged India's reputation. Now, instead of focusing on data, why don't they just squarely answer the question of jobs, employment? They talk about self-employment all the time. By the way, in India, self-employment is close to 50% to begin with, right? If self-employment is so amazing, why did 2.5 crore youngsters apply for menial jobs in the railways, about 60,000 jobs? Why?
Actually, I asked him that question. He said that that's changing. The need for government jobs
is going down. I'm sorry, India is not changing so drastically that within a few months of 2.5 crore youngsters applying for, and these were, many of them were PhDs, master's level people applying for these kind of jobs. What are they? Look, I mean, enough jumlebazi, enough drama bazi. We need jobs in this country because there's a wave coming. There's a tsunami coming. It's technology. If we don't watch out, if we don't start working hard, it's, you know, this, we can do short-term measures, but we really need long-term
measures. Those who
will
argue that technology will help solve the job problem also, but we'll debate that on a separate issue. It doesn't directly tie up with the 2019 election. Mr. Bhadauria, the question of jobs, you heard what the finance minister said when I asked him about jobs and the data, and he said he wasn't sounding completely convinced about some of the findings of the data I had come up with. What's your take on that?
You see, I heard the finance minister and I heard your question. He was talking about how people in the self-employment sector, and he talked about masons, he talked about artisans, and he talked about a whole lot of people trying to find jobs through their own initiatives. But let me say this. This government was talking of 100 smart cities, and in that, one of the cities was Banaras. And even Banaras, which they were trying to turn as Kyoto, you just go to Banaras and you'll find that the bridges are falling down. The Ganga remains where it was. So the cleaning of the Ganga with 17,000 crores, where the money has gone, I do not know which minister to ask and who will explain this. Similarly, in all other sectors, where are those 100 smart cities? I think in the 100 smart cities, this 10,000, this 10 crore job could have been created, but nothing was done. So therefore, at the end of the day, this government only talks, and the note bandi has destroyed everything. Now, 2% GDP fell, everybody acknowledges during the time of note bandi, and they don't acknowledge it. They don't acknowledge anything which is really happening on the ground. That is the problem with the government. And I can tell you, in an election year, all these questions will stare the government on its face. And the government does not have any answer to all this. And therefore, this government is going to be shown the door by the people of this country.
All right, Mr. Bhadauria. One of the advantages of budget day is that you can actually do get the opportunity to throw these questions to everybody in the government's top economic hierarchy. So I threw exactly this question about jobs and the questions coming up from the data to Amitabh Kant as well, somebody else who's been really spearheading startups and Niti and everything else. So this was his take on it. Let's listen into what he had to say. Is there a certain denial about possible joblessness or unemployment?
Vikram, the story of jobs is actually written all over the budget. From the first to the last para, starting from farmers to the unorganized sector, to the MSME sector, just about the whole story of not only jobs as they exist now, but looking at the jobs of the future. Because the budget talks about artificial intelligence, it talks about electric batteries, energy storage, it talks about renewable energy, it talks about digitization in all our villages, and therefore it looks at providing jobs across sectors, but it also looks at jobs for the future. So, the government clearly recognizes that growth has to be, the important thing is that India must grow at rapid rates. Without growth, you can't have distributive equity. With growth, you can have distributive equity. And then you need to provide jobs for that. And therefore, the story of jobs is all over this budget.
Okay, so Deshratan, what essentially Amitabh Kant again seemed to be saying, similar somewhat to what Piyush Goyal was saying, is that, look, the data is whatever it is, but you've got to just go on pushing ahead with the jobs and the jobs of the future and encourage entrepreneurship. And that's really, as you push ahead with growth, that's where the jobs will come from.
See, the small entrepreneurship, the Mudra loan, if you talk about 15.5 crore, as you rightly pointed out. And I saw a program in 2018 on NDTV, which was lauding Mudra Yojana and showing the success stories. I just saw that clip before coming here. And that's the narrative now people are trying to change. Just before the election, the Mudra Yojana has not worked. See, those are very small entrepreneurships. From Calcutta, street vendors you had shown, and I have those names also written. Those, they were saying they got 20,000 and they were able to set up a small shop. She also said that she was able to have a tea stall open for her husband also. These are small level success stories at the base level. That, those are not reflected in job creation because those are self-employments. That is where 7.28 lakh crore rupees have been given. And there are three categories in Mudra loans, you know. 60% are for, 50,000 and less. 50,000 and 5 lakh is another category, and up to 10 lakh is another category.
Okay.
So the maximum number of loans has gone up to 5 lakhs. And those have actually worked wonders on the ground, but those are not reflected comprehensively in a data. So, and there is also a time lag of 2 to 3 years when the real-time data comes in.
Okay.
So, those can will be reflected, say, after 2 years. That okay. will be shown.
Can I just ask all of you this question? Coming back to the road to 2019, this is the budget we're looking ahead in this big fight at what's going to happen in the elections. Is joblessness or unemployment something that actually moves the needle when it comes to voting?
That's very interesting. The NSSO report, which was leaked in the news, came out in the Business Standard, which it turned out the government was trying to suppress. And the chief statistician, in fact, resigned from his job because he felt that his report was not being made public. It says that the joblessness, the unemployment rate, is the highest in 45 years. We have an unemployment rate now comparable to 72, 73. And I know that, and you know, history tells us that in 72, 73, the revolt against Mrs. Gandhi and the Indira regime was because of mass joblessness, for which
there was revolt
against Mrs. Gandhi, and which led her to impose the emergency. Here, you may not, Arun Jaitley said, where are the revolt?
He asked an interesting question, and that's exactly what Arun Jaitley said yesterday.
He said it on that tweet.
Arun Jaitley said that if actually you had the 45-year lowest joblessness rate, wouldn't there be some social unrest?
No, but the fact is the media covering that social unrest? We know if it exists, it's there. Vikram, it is. I mean, the Jat protest, the Patidar protest, the Maratha protest, the farmer protest, the firing on protest.
Yeah,
but it's joblessness. It's because of joblessness. Because of joblessness. Why do they want reservation?
Why do they want reservation?
Because he wants jobs.
If the economy is so rosy, if things are really going really great, why does Prime Minister Modi have to announce reservation for those families earning less than 8 lakh rupees a year? I mean, think about it. What is happening in this country?
Okay.
The Prime Minister's admission is things are not going well. We're going to do something for farmers because things are not going well. We're going to do something for youngsters because we can't create jobs. We're going to reserve this for this person.
That's been seen in election results.
We refuse to admit that when there was a Patidar agitation going on, when the Jat agitation was going on, when the Maratha agitation was going on, when farmers were coming on the streets, they don't get the coverage in this country from television.
I saw it.
No, you saw it because
everybody
we had to search for
it.
Things.
Everybody
do they get the
it.
Same? Prime Minister Modi, he'll go and speak somewhere, everybody puts it on TV because they're directed to. If there's an agitation by poor people,
well
they're not shown because you've got to stop it.
So in that case,
that's the reality of India.
So
but
if there are big protests taking place which are not being covered on television, they still show up in the election results, right?
Well, they're losing.
Mr. Bhadauria, the answer to this question which Desh Ratan Nigam just asked, which similar to what Arun Jaitley asked, if joblessness is really this bad, why isn't it showing up in social unrest?
It is showing up in social unrest. And I can tell you, they may not acknowledge it. The way the BJP got routed in the by-elections in UP and across the country from Karnataka, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh. And let me also say this. All these people were on the doors of Delhi and Bombay, as Sagarika was herself saying. So it is there. They don't want to acknowledge it. They were looking the other side. They will see it in the month of May when they will be packing up and moving towards their houses
We'll see. Of course, won't be when it comes to May, and we'll see that. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. I'm flying out of time right here. Next week, let's just turn our attention to some of the more interesting states when it comes from West Bengal, where the Prime Minister was today. West Bengal is going to be interesting from the point of view of, is that going to shape the BJP's fortunes? Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, what's going to happen out here in Maharashtra? Some of the states we're going to start turning our attention to on the big fight, the road to 2019 edition. We'll be back next week.